talk about, you know, Gryffindor elections. In mathematics, we call it by a fancy name of decision theory. But you will see, it's actually a very, very simple and very exciting area. So what I want you to do, I don't really want to give you any other form of introduction. I just want you to look at what's going on here on the board. Everybody has a handout, I hope. Everybody has this two-sided piece of paper. So I have a very simple question for you. So the House of Gryffindor is trying to elect I think they're called prefects. You guys are Harry Potter fans, so you will know exactly what I'm talking about. And actually, I think prefects are not really elected, they're appointed. But, you know, let's be democratic here, let's try to elect them. So everybody in the House of Gryffindor, there are 100 people there, votes for the prefect. And there are five names. There are five candidates who are, you know, who want to be prefect. And then what I have here on the right-hand side, I have various rankings. So every time you see P, L, W, F, G, that means that the person prefers Harry Potter to Neville, and then Neville to Ronald, and then Ronald to Seamus, and then Seamus to Hermione. So every person has his or her own preference among all the candidates. And then I write it like this. I write it P is larger than L, W, F, and G, and so on. Of course, different people will have different preferences. Some people will like one candidate better. Some people will like the other candidate better. Some people will like the same candidate the most, but then among the other four, they may not agree. So everybody's going to have a different ranking of the candidates. And these numbers in front, so 31, 20, 19, and so on, that's the number of people. So if you add up all these numbers, you're going to get 100 exactly. So 31 is the number of people whose rankings are exactly that. They all prefer Harry Potter, and then they like Neville, and so on. So I'm giving a very simple question. Who should win? So who wins? Yeah?
How are we determining? Are we going on 5-4-3-2-1 basis, or what?
That's up to you. Okay. That's exactly what you're going to be doing this entire hour. Okay. Telling me how to determine that. So is there a fair way of doing that? Suppose this is your class and you want to elect a class president. Same deal. Yeah? Okay, so you would say most people prefer Harry Potter to everybody else, so he should be president. Okay. Let's say that they vote honestly. Actually, let's say they reveal their entire preference structure. So everybody says this is how I rank the candidates. Everybody's completely honest. But you see, the problem is that even though most people like Harry, the other people, they really don't like Harry. Most of the other people ranked Harry last. So maybe it would not be completely fair to elect Harry. Yeah?
Use representatives, like one for every 10 people, so that it sort of evens out all the numbers closer to each other.
Maybe. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Assign them 5 points. Assign Harry 5 points if he was first in line, 4 points if second, and so on.
That's a great idea, too. We can do that, too. Yeah?
Class reminder, and then I'm calculating everyone's point total to see who wins. If it's a 5-1-3-2-1 basis.
Okay, we'll do that in a second, and you can certainly start doing that now. Actually, I want everybody to do something even more interesting than that. So I want you to figure out a way. Sorry. I want everybody to construct five different voting rules, five different voting methods. So we heard two of them already. So we heard the one where we just count the number of first places. Whoever has the most wins. But then we also heard another idea. We said, let's assign points. If you're in the first place, you get a certain number of points. If you're in the second place, you get slightly less. So I want you to do something that sounds a little bit impossible. So I want you to think of five different voting rules, ways of choosing a winner from here. So you get to build your own government. You get to build your own democracy. And if you can, try to make it so that every one of these different rules chooses a different winner. Can you do that? Can you make everybody here, can you make everybody on this list win the election by devising a rule that sounds fair? I don't want rules that say Ronald is the president. That's a stupid rule, right? I want rules that sound fair to you. So these two rules that we heard about, the first one, who has the most first places wins. That's a fair rule. The other rule, where everybody gets a certain number of points, depending on where they are in the ranking, that's a fair rule too. So I'll give you a few minutes. I want you to think about different rules, different methods. They're going to take this table and produce a winner. You don't have to think about, you know, Harry Potter. You can think about you and your friends choosing a restaurant. Everybody has a different ranking over different types of food. So how do you choose? Where are you going to go? It's exactly the same problem. How do you choose a president? So five different methods. If somebody has an idea, you can tell me, or you can just think about it quietly, whatever you want. Just those lights off, because I think they're...
But I might do it wrong.
Yeah, I know. I thought you'd be better at it than I would. I think it's certainly better. Yeah, I think these are probably connected. So.
Yeah, and then if you want to use the words, you can actually...
Oh yeah, this is great. Yeah, just...
Yeah, that's great. Much more...
It's fine. Yeah, I've given that. Sure, absolutely, you can do that. It's okay, yeah, they're gonna have to. Oh, what's this? No, unfortunately, too many people showed up. Can you just, yeah, it's on the board, so you can, yeah. Guys, if you want some inspiration, have you seen the show Survivor? Anybody seen Survivor? Yeah. How's it going here? Any good ideas? Yeah, great. Okay. So who won with the points? Uh-huh. Okay. And then zeros. Uh-huh. Okay, try that. Okay, I'll let you think. Oh, sorry. Okay, let's see what you get that way. How's it going, guys? Yeah, completely non-partisan. Yeah, this is the first slide. There was a handout where you can do it. Yeah, too many people showed up. That's good, yeah, I guess. That's fine. But yeah, this is exactly on the handout, so you're not missing anything. Yeah. So any ideas how to do this? Yeah. Yeah, this is the number of people who had exactly this ranking. So everybody ranks the candidates, right? So 31 people preferred Harry to Neville to wait. Yeah. So there are 100 people. So now we want to choose the president. Now we want to choose the prefect in the Harry Potter world. And we want to figure out how to make these individual rankings into a decision who's gonna be the president. So for example, one way to do it is to say, well, Harry Potter, that's P. There are 31 people who prefer him to everybody else. Therefore, he should be president. But then if you look at everybody else, they really don't like him. You see? And yeah, so 70 people really, really would prefer somebody else. So maybe there is another way of choosing a president. So what I want you guys to do is to think of different ways in which you can choose the prefect. And actually, if you want to think a little bit more, I want you to find a way for every one of these candidates to be president. Right? So I want you to find a voting rule, a voting method, so that, yeah, so one rule for everybody. So let's find a way to make everybody president. Yeah. So maybe you can give big points. Maybe you can say if you're first. Yeah, that's one way, but there are many other ways. So if you try to do that and see who's president. Yeah. But then I want you to come up with your own ways. Yeah, so just think about it. Yeah. You fine, guys? You got it? You got all five? Wow, man. That's great. You want to come and tell everybody? I mean, the kids. Yeah, sure. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. It's okay, it's such a big auto. Mogu na papiru ovo to piše. Huh? Ah, okay. So, who wins? You don't understand the question? Yeah. Yeah, you have to build a government. You have to choose how. Yeah, you have to write the constitution. So what's the constitution? The constitution is the rule that takes everybody's decisions and then makes it into one decision. See, some people like Harry, some people like Hermione, some people like Ron. And then some out of all these people with different preferences, you have to find a way to come up with one person. One person. Maybe. Why should Lama work? Yeah, Harry Potter has a lot of firsts, but also a lot of lasts. Yeah, so maybe he should not win. I don't know. Okay, guys. You ready? I have another activity for you, so... I heard that somebody had a solution. Can you show everybody how to do it? Can you explain it to everybody? Or you want to explain it to me? Okay. Wait. I'm here. Come again. What is the problem? No, you see 30, 31, Harry, 20, Hermione. I know, but I'm trying to come up with a rule. I'm trying to invent a rule. Okay, so you have to come up with a different rule. I'm going to make Harry win. Okay. Okay, guys. Maybe we could move on. So, can anybody make Hermione Granger win? Any methods for G? Who can make Hermione win? Yeah. So, what's your rule?
Well, I had it so it's the top two people. Potter and Hermione, and basically I went through the list again, but without Ronald, Neville, or Samus.
Uh-huh.
And I found that Hermione won.
Okay, so you just compared Hermione to Harry, and then...
Yeah.
She won. Okay. Any other ways? Yeah? So who do you eliminate every time? Who do you eliminate? The last one or the last few or the least votes? Okay, so, and then you keep doing that. So who wins? This way. Okay. Okay, how do you make Ron win? So you assign points to everybody? Okay, well. Thank you. It seems that Finnegan was a bit of a problem. Can anybody get? You can get Finnegan. I heard you.
Well, yeah. I thought I needed help, but I actually had come up with a way, but a miscalculation, and they mislabeled. It was first place votes minus last place votes.
Oh.
I come up with that and try to see who would win, but from miscalculation, I thought Weasley would win.
Ah, but it was actually Finnegan.
First place
okay.
votes minus last place votes. Like you give them the point for the first place votes and subtract the point for the last place.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so go ahead.
If you just eliminate one every time, then you're going to get, if you eliminate the last place person, and then you do a vote again, and then you eliminate the last place person, then it's
just that's right, yeah. Okay, guys, so I hope you got a little bit of a feel for sort of different ways in which you can take a ranking, individual rankings of candidates, and make them into a winner, into a president. And this is exactly what we do in democracies. This is exactly what we do when we write rules. Let me show you some of the rules that I came up with. And actually, I didn't come up with them. They're well-known. They're well-known rules in political science and in mathematics. And I think you guys had all of them. I think I've heard every one of these rules in some form from somebody in the audience. So you were great. But let's go through them. So plurality. Everybody votes for the preferred candidate. The candidate with the most votes wins. Okay, so that was the first rule we talked about. That's where Harry Potter wins, because there are 31 of the rules there. Okay. Then we have a top two runoff. So there are different kinds of runoff elections. So what you can do, you can say, well, first each voter votes for their preferred candidate. Then we select two candidates with the most votes. And then we have another round of elections to choose between these two. And actually, if you do that, you're going to see that Hermione wins. And I think we had exactly that idea somewhere in the audience. A lot of European countries actually have this system in place. So this is not, this is a deal. Then we have the so-called board account. So this idea that many of you had, that you assign points to places. So if you're first ranked, you get in this case, 5 points, 4-3-2-1, or you can make it 4-3-2-1-0, or you can make it in many different ways. These are called board accounts. And if you do that, you're actually going to get Ron Weasley in this case. Then we have an instant runoff body. This was exactly the idea that we heard a second ago. You vote for a favorite candidate. The candidate with the least amount of votes gets eliminated. But then you can also do something that I'm sure you guys have seen on TV. You can do a survivor vote. We do exactly the same thing, but sort of upside down. So everybody votes for their least favorite candidate, and then the candidate with the most votes is eliminated. So it's sort of the person who is least liked is eliminated. So you basically just go the other way. And if you do it, then you're going to get Neville Longbottom. And there are many, many, many other rules. But somehow, I listed these rules here, and I said they're fair voting rules. So now I want you to think a little bit further. I want you to think about what is it that makes a rule fair. So I don't care anymore about who wins. I care about rules. So why would I call these rules fair? And I also want you to think about a rule that's not fair. What's a rule that's obviously not fair? Anybody? Yeah? That's a great unfair rule. So you just toss a coin or something and pick a random candidate. You don't really look at what other people believe. Yeah?
The candidate with the least votes wins.
The candidate with the least votes wins, yeah. That's absolutely not a fair rule. What's an unfair rule that actually exists in some countries? Yeah?
Monarchy.
A monarchy. So one person gets to choose. So one voter gets to pick who's going to be the president. It's called a dictatorship. That's a rule. It's not very fair. Any other unfair rules? Yeah?
In some ways, the electoral college can be unfair. Like giving each state a certain number of votes, because if you divide it up,
uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's right. So this is a special case of when you put different weights on different voters. It's not one person, one vote, but some votes count more than others. So that would be another unfair rules. How about properties of rules? So why are these rules fair? Yeah?
It gives everyone an equal shot.
Okay, so for example, if you look at plurality, everybody's votes counts the same. Okay. How about a survivor? Is that fair too?
I mean, every candidate has the same shot.
Okay.
Like every candidate, like it's not like okay, you can stay and you have to go out. Like it, the rules are the same.
Okay. So what I want to do now, I want to show you some fairness criteria. So these are fairness criteria that we use in mathematics. So these are the criteria that we say, well, any voting rule really should be like this. So let's go through them. So there is a majority criteria. Majority criteria says that if a majority, more than 50% of the voters, prefer Harry Potter, then Harry Potter should win. If everybody likes Harry Potter, but then Hermione wins, that cannot be fair. Agree? Something is wrong with that system. Majority loser. Well, if a majority of voters really don't like Harry, then Harry cannot win. Doesn't really make any sense. There is a third criterion. It's called a Pareto criterion. So this criterion says that if everybody prefers X to Y, if everybody likes Harry better than Hermione, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes, you know, you're gonna have ties, you're gonna have different things. But if it just happens that everybody, every single voter, likes Harry better than Hermione, Hermione doesn't win. Then we have something called the Condorcet criteria. The Condorcet says that assume there is a candidate such that for any other candidate, X would win against that candidate in a two-way race. So if you just put Harry and Hermione together and have everybody vote, and then you put Harry and Neville together, everybody votes. You put Harry and Seamus together and so on, and every time Harry wins, then Harry has to be president, right? There's no other way. And then we have another criterion, which is called the independence criterion. So independence criterion says, if an election is held and the winner is declared, then the winning candidate should remain the winner, even if some of the guys down there drop out. Right? Even if in any recalculation of votes, as a result of one of my guys dropping out, we still have the same winner. Somehow, if nobody likes Finnegan, then the fact that the Finnegan drops out of the race is not going to change who the winner is, right? Okay, so what I have here, I have five different rules. So that what I want you to do, I want you to think about your criteria. I have five different criteria, and I want you to think about different voting methods that we had before. So we have five voting methods, and we have five criteria for them, for fairness. How many of those are actually fair according to these criteria? So for example, how about the majority criteria? How many of the voting methods that you thought about actually satisfy the majority criteria? Yeah?
Well, sort of number one. I think the majority criteria issue number one is fair because if more than 50% of the voters have X's wrong, then if everyone had some, let's say we have A, B, C, D, and E. If 60% of the voters have X as their top choice, but 40% of them have X, but the other 40% all have X as their last choice, and every single voter has B as their second choice, then B would win because he would have. So that isn't really fair, actually.
It isn't really fair. Okay, let's try some other examples. How about the board account? Remember, the board account is the one when you assign points. So the board, if you have a situation like this, I'm just going to put it here to remind you what's going on. Then this person here gets, let's say, 5 points, 4 points, 3, 2, 1, and then you add up all the points and see who wins. Okay. It's the other way. So what I want you to do now, I want you to look at this voting method. It looks nice, it looks fair. And tell me which of these are satisfied, which of these are actually true if you use the board account. If this is how you pick your winner, is that method going to be fair according to these five? It's probably the hardest part here, sort of understanding what I'm asking you to do. So for example, number one, if a majority of the voters have Harry Potter as their top choice, will Harry Potter necessarily win? Yeah, because you get a lot of points for being in the second choice. You had an idea?
Because that person's only going to get 1 point.
Well, the thing is, this person is going to get 1 point for every voter who ranks them last, right? So maybe Seamus is the last ranked for a majority of voters, but everybody else loves it. And he's going to get a lot of fives there. So what do you think? Is this fair at all? Is it fair according to any of these? So I'm going to let you think about it. So figure out for me if the Borda criterion is fair in any sense of the...
Well, do we pass the grid a little bit?
Would it?
If every voter has Potter as five, then Granger, if every voter had Granger, which wins, if every voter had Potter as five.
Okay, that's true. So it looks like it would pass the Pareto criterion. That's good. Yeah? Okay, how would you make it more fair?
What about if last place got one, fourth place got two, third place got four, fourth place got eight, or second place got eight?
Oh, you want to do this?
First place got 16. Yes, because that would make it more fair, like 2 seconds is two-thirds is a second.
Okay, so that's another, it's not really a Borda count, it's another Borda-like count. So you can try to think about this. Is this more fair?
Yeah.
It sounds like it's more fair. How about my criteria? Does it meet any of these criteria that the regular Borda didn't meet? So far we know that Pareto is good. Yeah? Anybody? Somebody had it? Yeah? Well, it depends what you mean by of the votes. You mean like first places?
Yes. But even more than that, I wonder if he had 50% more than 50%.
Yeah, so in our case, in the example that I gave you, you just cannot decide because you didn't have anybody with the majority of votes.
Yeah.
So we don't know. But we're talking about in general. We're talking about the method of voting. So is this method always fair? So in our example, we just cannot tell. So what other properties here, what other criteria are satisfied by the board?
It also has the independence.
It has the independence?
Well, if Potter gets 5 16s, and then Finnegan drops out with 5 1s, Potter would still win.
Okay, so is that always going to be the case? When do we have the okay, let me talk to him a little bit. Stop. So what do you think? Independence? No? Why not?
No, because that criteria might be true in the case of the election, but it also doesn't have particularly to do with the rule that you're making.
Okay. Yeah, do you have an idea?
Well, the movement when we supported the independence, it was Potter had all five and Finnegan had all one, so consider if Potter had maybe 3 5s, and then Finnegan had so 3 7 2 10s and ones, then should Finnegan drop out if the other if anybody who would have voted for Finnegan as their third, that could shift.
Yeah. So if we had a slightly different situation, if we had F here a lot and Ron here a lot, think about it. maybe that would really change the entire. Yeah.
Well, it depends on what you mean by the independence criteria. Like, if it means that if someone drops out, it didn't say a re-vote, it said a recount.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
In a re-vote, Potter might lose, but in a recalculation, Potter would still win.
Right. That's a great point. So the point is that there is no re-vote. This is only about how we calculate votes. This is only about how we take everybody's preferences. And they're fixed. People are not going to change their minds. They tell you exactly what they feel about the ranking. And we're trying to assess fairness of ways of turning that into a winner. Right? So there's going to be no re-vote. If you had a re-vote, if somebody drops out here and you have a re-vote, who knows what's going to happen? But we don't have a re-vote. So yeah, that's an excellent point. Yeah.
If you're supposed to have a re-vote, could you shift the votes that went for one to whatever their second or third choice is?
Yeah. So it will depend very much on how you, because once you have four of these guys, you have to assign. So what do? Do you still assign 5-3-4-3-2, or you reassign numbers starting from 4? So yeah. Okay, that's a great idea. So you're saying, let's not start from 5 here. Let's just give negative votes. So this way, if somebody drops out, so let's give -1 here. Is that what you said, -1? Or? Yeah. Yeah. So maybe if I don't assign 5 points to the winner, I just assign -1, -2, -3, -4, -5 like this. Then if somebody drops out, I'm not going to have to worry about that. I can just keep them. That's a great idea. Yeah. So it's not working. Okay, guys, I'm running out of time for this, but I want you to think about this. I want you to think about different strategies, different voting rules that we talked about before, and now we have different voting criteria. So this is what your table on your handout. There is a 5x5 table. So I think it would be a great exercise to try to see which one of these actually satisfy which of the criteria. But I want to, because for the second hour, I have something completely different for you. I want to talk about gerrymandering in the second hour. But before I do that, I want to show you a very, very important and in a sense, a very, very sad mathematical theorem. So let me just show you that, and then we're going to take a few minutes off. It's called Arrow's criteria. Arrow's theorem. Kenneth Arrow is a Nobel Prize winner. He got his Nobel Prize in 1972 for economics. And in his PhD thesis, he proved a very important theorem. Theorem is just a mathematical result. It's a mathematical statement that is true. So he proved a theorem about voting. He proved a theorem about fairness and different voting methods. So let me just give you a little bit of an introduction to what it is. But even though we know all the ingredients already. So a preference profile is really just that list that I gave you in the first handout. This person thinks like this. This person ranks candidates like this. This person ranks candidates like that. So I have a whole list of preferences for everybody. A voting method is something that takes this everybody's preferences and turns them into a winner. So Arrow's theorem is about different voting methods, what they can and cannot do. And Arrow was being very, very modest. He says, okay, can I find a voting method? Can I find a way of actually aggregating everybody's opinions, everybody's preferences, in such a way that it has only these two criteria? He didn't want all five, even though every one of those five sounds like a really nice thing to have, right? So he said, no, I don't want all five. I just want two. One of them is Pareto. If everybody prefers X to Y, then Y cannot win. And he also asked for the independence criteria. So we talked about both of them. Independence says that what happens down there on the ballot doesn't really affect the winner. If you just remove somebody who is, you know, third or last, that shouldn't. Here's a very nice story. Sidney Morgenbesser is a philosopher at Columbia University. He's retired. But here's a nice story about Sidney. And I put it there because I think it's going to help you understand why independence criterion is so important. So what does it say? So Sidney goes to a diner, and he's trying to order pie. So the waitress says, okay, we have two kinds. We have apple pie and we have blueberry pie. So Sidney thinks and he says, well, I'll take the apple pie. I prefer the apple pie. And then a few minutes later, the waitress comes back and says, wait, sir, we also have a cherry pie. And then Sidney says, oh, in that case, I'll have the blueberry pie. So this is an example of a decision making without the independence section. Just the fact that there's a cherry pie out there somehow changed Sidney's decision between apple and blueberry. Going the other way, if you remove the cherry pie was never a winner. Cherry pie was always sort of, you know, at least second place. Removing the cherry pie made switch Sidney his opinion. So that obviously doesn't make any sense. So what I'm trying to say is that what Kenneth Arrow is asking for is really the minimal amount of, you know, fairness. Yeah?
The decision system makes doesn't follow the independence criteria, because if we run it backwards, like say the waitress comes back and says, oh, I'm sorry, you don't add any cherry pie, then he'll say, oh, in that case, I want apple pie.
Exactly. So absolutely.
So
you're absolutely
not,
right.
So he is not doing a fair way to choose.
Exactly. So what Sidney is doing is silly. That's what they're trying to say. Right? And everybody agrees this is silly. So we don't want to have silly rules. So Arrow said, okay, I want my rules not to be silly. And then he sat down and then he started writing on a piece of paper. By the way, he's 95 now. This is what he looks like. He's a happy, happy, very active person still. But the theorem that he proved was not so happy. So what Arrow said, okay, suppose I have at least three candidates. So I want to choose between three or more candidates. And any voting method, any constitution that you write, any way you agree to decide on who the winner is. So we talked about all these different ways you can decide. Board accounts, first place, who knows what. Anything you can think of that is both Pareto, as it should be, and that is not silly in the sense that it doesn't choose the apple pie once the cherry pie is present, has to be a dictatorship. What is this dictatorship? Dictatorship is really that one example that we had. I said, look, guys, can you think of one unfair way of choosing who the winner is? And one unfair way is to say, you're the dictator. Whoever you prefer is the winner. So if you want to satisfy both Pareto and independence, the only way to do that is to have a dictator. So I'm going to leave you with that. And I actually what I'm going to leave you with is try to think about why this is actually not so bad. It sounds like the democracy is doomed, but it's not. So think about what it is.
Democracy is not doomed.
It's not doomed at all. No, of course not. Okay, guys. So let's take a few minutes off, and then we're going to talk about another sort of aspect of voting, which is gerrymandering, which is completely different. It's geometric in nature.
There's some cookies outside.
No, it's good. Cookies. Yeah. Cookies are important. Was this a bit over there?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. No. I don't want to go there. Absolutely not. It's kids, you know. No. This is all, you know, completely nonpartisan. Yeah. Yeah. But maybe that explains why there are really just two parties in the end. I mean, maybe. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Because I was thinking, like, this is a way for first.
Yeah.
But no.
Okay. Good to know. Okay. Thanks.
It's definitely different.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Поки що, ти можеш мені после третій, де в тому ще все змічити, все це можемо припрямити другі. Можеш? Thank you. Da, da, da. To je samo slika. I'm sure they would. Maybe you will. You can start thinking about it.